All right. Well, good morning again. I realized when I first came up here to make announcements, I didn't have my microphone on. And so the sound guys are just now balancing me and doing all the stuff that normally they would do either beforehand or when I make my first announcement. So I'm giving them a chance to do that right now. But boy, how's it sound out there in general? Isn't it amazing how rich and beautiful the sound is? That thing is not above my head, so you don't have to worry about it coming down on me. Thank you for your concern, though. But it is like multiple, three or four different speakers, stuff up there. It's cool, and there's no more dead spots in the sanctuary. So you can sit wherever you want, and you're going to get rich and full sound. So pretty cool. Also, there's some fans up there. There's one over me now that didn't used to be there, and one right here, and there's another one that's hiding back in the family room waiting to be installed. When one more little part comes in, it's going to go there. So great big fans moving some air. So in the summertime, when it's not normally this hot and not normally this humid, it's going to be a little bit more comfortable in here. So lots of work going on, lots of volunteers doing a lot of stuff, and so very good. Hopefully it enhances your worship experience. So yeah, good stuff. Speaking of worship experience, my wife is upstairs running the slides today, and if you happen to see her after worship, wish her a happy birthday, because today is her birthday, and I don't know which number it is for sure. At least I don't think she wants me to say. So 21st or 22nd or somewhere in there. So, happy birthday, baby. There you go. All right. So, anyway, last week we've been engaged in this whole sermon series about a key club, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. But last week we looked at the show Mission Impossible, and you guys recognized how super young I am, and the fact that I wasn't able to watch the shows back when they first came out because I was just frankly not born yet or too young to watch TV. So you guys were very, very, very gracious in telling me how young I am. So thank you for that. But I did watch the movies with Tom Cruise. I've watched most of them. I didn't know there were six of those, but apparently there are six of the Mission Impossible movies out there. So I have seen that. Tom Cruise playing Ethan Hunt, several other characters going about this whole series that's called Mission Impossible. And my question was, each week back when they had the show and then all the movies, they accomplish every single mission. And so I wonder, why didn't they change the name? I mean, wouldn't they get more people recruited to serve if they thought it was Mission Possible? Like maybe they could actually accomplish instead of Mission Impossible? Who wants to be a part of that team? But thankfully, again, they were successful each week, and so and they didn't change the name. It's still Mission Impossible. And you and I, as born-again believers, followers of Jesus, we are the bride of Christ. We just sang about that, longing and waiting for our groom to return. We're also the church. We're the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. We make up the church. And as the church, we're tasked with a mission and taking the light of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, to the corners of the earth, starting right here. And it may seem like an impossible mission, far beyond our abilities. And I guess in a sense, in our flesh, it is. It is far greater than we are. But through Christ, through His Spirit's presence inside us, it is very much mission possible. So we've been talking about who we were in our sin, dead in sin and enemies of Christ. And we looked at what it means to be saved by God's grace through faith, and that it's not anything that we can do. We looked at we are saved for good works, to do good works for His sake. We looked at the fact that we then make up the body of Christ here locally and globally. We looked at that we're the bride of Christ. What's the purpose of the church? What's our role within the church? We're all gifted and called to use our gifts to serve Him. And then we began looking at our vision, and our vision is simply building relationships, that we are so much stronger together. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. And then last week we started looking at our mission statement, which the first half was to know and grow. And today we're going to look at the second half of our mission statement, and that is to serve and go. So four simple words: know and grow and serve and go. And so today we're looking at those final two elements of our mission statement. Next week I'm going to do my best, pray for me in my preparation to sum all of that up in one message in a timely manner. I want to try to do one. I'm going to see if I can do it. See if there's any way before like lunch is over that I can sum up all of that. So some of you are saying, I think I'm going to be busy next week. But yeah, don't miss. Seriously, I'll do my best. Hopefully it'll be fun. But I think it'll be valuable for us in one message to sum it all up. And then we've got a super special treat for the next week. So good stuff. But today, like I've been saying the last couple of weeks, these are not normal. If you're here for the first time or joining us online, welcome and thank you for watching and listening and being a part of this. Know that these couple of weeks are not normal. I'm not preaching a sermon per se. I'm speaking about how Ledge Rock is moving forward to be the church and to fulfill all that we've learned through Scripture. So a couple more weeks like this, and then we're going to get back into, I suppose, more normal messages, whatever the new normal the new normal is. But this is very important stuff. It's very important for you, Ledge Rock, to know what is our vision. Building relationships, and then what is our mission? How are we going to build those relationships, and how do we do it biblically? And again, that's knowing and growing and serving and going. And so I think it's key and crucial for all of us to own that, to grasp that, and then know that as we move forward, each event we do, each class we offer, everything is built around building relationships and knowing Christ and knowing each other and growing in our relationship with the Lord and growing in that relationship together. And then today, serving and going. So I mentioned in my pre-worship announcements, and it's in your bulletin, that pay attention and know that all of you that have requested to join Ledge Rock as members, and we've even had a couple this week express interest in joining, we are creating a new members class. So in the past, there had been one ready to go, but the church has gone through a major reconstruction over the last few years, rewriting the Constitution, re-exploring vision, mission. We finally got all that stuff worked out. We've got a discipleship process. Now we can put together the material that we've worked out over the last nearly year or whatever and can present it. So those of you that have been waiting, just thank you for your patience and know that very, very soon we will have the formal class ready to go, and you're going to be guinea pigs as we explore this together. So that's a quick announcement. Know that that's going on and coming up. Because today's not a normal message, let's open up in prayer and then we'll get into the rest of today. So Father, we come before you this day with joy in our hearts to gather here in this place and praise and worship you, because Lord, together we are your body. We're your bride, and we are precious in your sight, and it is a joy to be able to gather and praise and worship you. And Father, I thank you for bringing us together, for giving us your word, and Lord, I thank you for the vision that you've given us and this mission and how it is that we can fulfill who you are and who you've called us to be and saved us to be. And so, Lord, I pray for this time together that you would open up our hearts and minds and help us understand who you are and what you've done and how we can serve you. So, Lord, move among us today. Speak into our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, those of you that looked at the paper or whatever, I got a couple of comments this morning, saw the pictures in the paper. Gabe is playing football for Ely, the Ely Timberwolves. It's and boy, they played Wednesday night, played Cook County, Grand Marais, the Vikings. So Timberwolves against the Vikings. And from what I understand, last year it was super close, overtime, and the Vikings scored a touchdown and won the game. And so I think there was a little bit of revenge going on this year. And let me tell you, the Timberwolves had a tough first game down at South Ridge last Friday, but they looked like an absolutely completely different team Wednesday night and soundly defeated the Vikings 20-0, in fact. It's okay to clap. You live in Ely or close to it. Yeah, go Wolves. So anyway, Gabe, our oldest, is playing football. He's a senior this year, or at least he's homeschooled, so he's basically a senior. Homeschoolers know exactly what I'm talking about. But anyway, he's always wanted to play football, never really had the chance. Illinois doesn't let homeschoolers play, and so thankfully Minnesota does, and so very excited. And so here Gabe is. Great big, if you've seen him lately, like great big guy, lots of size, every coach's dream, but he sadly hasn't really had much experience. He's watched games and watches YouTube videos and understands it probably better than I ever did back when I played, but he's never had the chance to play. And so I just want to brag on Gabe for a minute. So first of all, it's tough to be homeschooled and then go to the high school and say, I'm the new kid and I want to play and I'm a senior and I've never played and there's 20 some odd other kids that you don't really know. So that takes a lot of bravery just to do that. But he wanted to play so bad. So I think that helped him overcome, you know, the difficulty of doing that. But then here's Gabe, this great big senior, and he just goes to the coaches and says, I don't exactly know what I'm supposed to do, but show me, and I'm going to work as hard as I can to help the team in any way possible. And it's just that heart, and he stays after practice and works with the coaches because he doesn't know, but they're sharing with him and showing him, and he's growing in his skill and ability, and his whole desire is just simply to help the team in any way possible. He knows it's a one-and-done year. He's going to get to play this year, and that's it. But I've just been thoroughly impressed with his heart, his servant's heart, and so just wanting to better the team. There's no I in team. If you look at the how you spell it, there's no I in team, and a great team is made up of individuals using their talents, strength, and energy, working together, united to defeat a common enemy. That's what a great team is. A great church is like a great team. A great church is made up of individuals using talents, strength, and energy, working together, united to defeat a common enemy. So last week, I think I introduced my tagline. This isn't official. It's just a descriptor for our vision, which is simply building relationships. My vision for us, the church, is a group of people, born-again believers, growing and serving together. No one left behind and no one left alone. So our mission statement is to know and grow, and then today we're looking at serve, to serve. Each member is expected to serve. So several weeks ago, we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is a very famous chapter, very famous passage. It's actually 12, 13, and 14, explaining the fact that the body of Christ is gifted with lots and lots of very unique and special gifts, purposefully given by God so that we fit together like a body and function correctly and function in a healthy manner. Feet and legs and hands and nose and eyes and just all the parts of a body, some more visible, some maybe more desirable than others, but each part very unique, very special, and very important, specifically and purposefully fit together to function in a good and healthy manner. We learned about that. We had a cautious week where we explored the spiritual gifts and how some may or may not be as active today as they were and all of that. But the point is, the fact is that Jesus has created you and saved you to serve Him, to serve and glorify Him. In fact, way back at the very beginning of this whole Key Club series, we looked at Ephesians 2:10, very, very important verse, and it says something like this, that you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He prepared ahead of time for us to do. Think about that one for a moment. You're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for you to do. You know, we all know God knew us before we were born. He knows the number of hairs on our heads, but did we ever stop and think that he's created works for us to do before we were ever born? Think about that for a moment. So I think as we go about our week, we have to ask the question, that very hard question, am I doing what God has preordained and predestined for me to do? Or do I just go to church and show up sometimes and maybe sometimes not? Think about that whole his workmanship created for good works. Think about that one for a moment. God created us and Jesus saved us to serve him, to serve him by serving others. As disciples, as born again followers of Jesus, we model our lives after Jesus, after King Jesus. In Matthew 20, 28, a very famous verse, very familiar verse, says the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. As you and I know and grow in our relationship with Jesus, we're to look more and more like him. And he came not to be served, but to serve. And so you and I have a role and a responsibility to serve him by serving others. Jesus modeled servant leadership for us. He modeled it. As we grow in our relationship, we look at him and we look at what he did and how he did it. He's the perfect example. Speaking of birthdays, today being Teresa's birthday, and this is absolutely not about her. She is very much so thankful for any gift that her family gives her. But I have some other people, some loved ones that I have spent some time, hard to buy for people. We all have some of those in our life. Hard to buy for. And you spend some time thinking about, man, what could this person really use? And so you put a lot of time and effort into getting them just the right gift, just that very special gift, and then wrap it all up and put a whole bunch of tape on it and then give it to them, and very excited. And they open it up and seem to be fairly thankful, and then they set it to the side. And then 6 months later, you see where I'm going with this? 6 months later, you go visit, and you see it's still in its package, sitting on a shelf somewhere. Maybe a year later, it's down on a lower shelf, tucked away, still in it, never having been used. It's heartbreaking. It's crushing. You put all this time and effort and energy into getting just the right gift, and you're excited and give it to them, and they open it up, and then they never, ever, ever use it. It's insulting. It's hard. It just crushes your spirit. And I know for me, I don't want to give them any gift anymore. If like what I put all that effort into didn't work, then why even bother? If you have a copy of God's Word, look at 1 Peter chapter 4. I think we've got it up on the screen as well, so you can feel free to just follow along. 1 Peter 4. 10 and 11. Peter, I mean, this is the midst of Peter talking about coming false prophets and being careful and, you know, all of that. But we're jumping right into this thought. But verse 10 says, just as each one has received a gift, speaking of believers from God, just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. If anyone speaks, let it be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, let it be from the strength God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. So it's difficult now. Well, let me just back up a second. Obviously, God has gifted his body, his church, with special gifts uniquely created to serve together, to fit together as the body, as his hands and feet here on this earth temporarily for a while, to serve each other, to push back darkness, to bring the name of Jesus to places where it's never been before, to reach people for the kingdom of God, glorifying him forever and ever. We have a role and a purpose and a gift, and think if it's insulting to give a loved one something that you put some thought and effort into and they don't use it, think of how insulting it is to our Creator to have been created specifically and perfectly and called and gifted to serve and then to not use it. It's difficult right now. I get it. I understand. It's very challenging right now. One, we've been through a major reconstruction. So lots of things are different here at Ledgerock than they were in years past. Lots of things are different. I get it. I understand. We're in this transition period. Pastor Angus did such a brilliant job of bringing people together and laying out the groundwork. And now your spiritual oversight team and I've been working hard on how does this flesh out day to day and what's it actually look like? And we've worked very, very hard. And so we're just now getting to the point where we can actually enact some of these things. And then now we're in the midst of a pandemic or whatever this is that we're in the midst of. And don't share your opinions right now. I know there's lots of varied opinions, but the point is things are different and they're challenging right now for all of us. Some of you are here every week and you want to serve and it's difficult. I get that. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for sticking through this, and know that someday soon, we will get to whatever this new normal will be. But during this new members class, each of you, everyone will know and learn that you're expected as a member of Ledgerock to serve. Know and grow and serve. It's one of the key elements of our mission statement. You're expected to serve in ways in which you can serve. And this is not exhaustive, but just some ways everyone can serve is normally there's an Awana program. Wednesday nights is when it used to be. We don't know when we'll be able to do that. Right now, it doesn't seem like a good idea to get a whole pack of Rugrats together running around, and all of that goes along with that. But Awana, they need lots of volunteers, lots of helpers. It's a great, great ministry to some unchurched families in the community. We had to reschedule Vacation Bible School for next year. But normally, Vacation Bible School, great outreach to the community, great way to love on some families and some kids. Lots of volunteers needed. We're working on an entirely new next generation ministry. Kids starting with nursery and going up ultimately to youth and into college. But there's going to be a need for rotating volunteers to teach our kids about Jesus. Next generation ministry, youth ministry, first impression. It's just my word for the greeting ministry, the welcome center and greeters, even starting in the parking lot. But first impression ministries, ushers. We're using ushers now in a way that we never had to before. Seating people and building and grounds. Lots of work has gone on here over these last few months, and there's always a need for people to help with some of that stuff. Building and grounds, fellowship and hospitality. Things that we're not able to do so much right now. Mercy and care, ministry. Challenging for sure, but definitely a need. Adult discipleship. We're in the process of creating a whole plan for growing and maturing believers. Leading people to Christ and growing them to look more like Jesus through the life group model. We're going to need people that will host life groups and some that will lead and facilitate life groups. Worship. There's room to help and serve in worship unless you're me. I can't help with worship at all. I'm just a participant. I'm definitely not called or gifted anything musically. But worship, there's a need there for worship, people to help lead us in worship. Technology is a vast field that we're getting more and more into, and there's a need for technology. There's multiple people upstairs running the technology right now for us to enhance our worship. Missions, man, I'm going to talk about missions in a little bit. There's room for people to serve in missions and outreach. The point is there's no end to the areas where you and I can serve together. Remember, growing and serving together. No one left behind and no one left alone. And in case you're here and you're wondering, boy, you know what? I think I should probably serve. Well, good news. The nominating committee is just fixing to get ready to start meeting now. And so someone's going to come knocking on your door, texting, emailing, calling you, and letting you know, hey, what do you think about serving in this certain area? And so say yes. Say yes, especially when they've very prayerfully considered what they see and recognize in you as some gifting. And so really prayerfully consider some of that. Some of us are very specifically gifted and very specifically called to certain areas of ministry. Some of us are very specific, but I think the vast majority of followers of Jesus aren't so specifically gifted and very specifically called. And I think most with the right heart can simply say, I'm here to learn. I'm here to grow. I'm here to love. I'm here to serve. How can I help? And let me tell you, there is nothing that warms the heart of a pastor or a leader than hearing those words from someone. I'm here to grow and love and serve. How can I help? Love that. Knowing and growing and serving. And the last part of our mission statement is to go. Matthew 28, last few verses. It's called the Great Commission. It's very, very, very familiar passage to all of us, and I'll read it to you. I think we've got it up here. All authority has been given to me. Jesus is speaking right before his ascension back to heaven. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or obey everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. That's the Great Commission. It's not the Great Recommendation. It's the Great Commission. Most churches, in fact, I don't think I've ever read a mission statement, a vision statement, or whatever of a church that didn't include the Great Commission in it. Most churches use the Great Commission in their mission statement. Very few can explain how. Very few can explain how they are called, gifted, and actually fulfilling that Great Commission. And here's my heart, a glimpse at my heart. I think that we've been duped by the enemy for way too long. We've been duped and tricked into believing a lie that making disciples here, there, and everywhere, to do that, all we have to do is just be nice to people. I think we've been tricked into thinking that if we are nice to people, that they will maybe somehow see Jesus in us, and then maybe want more of that, and maybe eventually get saved. I think we've been sold a bill of goods, and we've fallen for that trap far too long, because it's way easier to just be nice to people in the name of Jesus than to share with them who the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords actually is, and who they are in their sin and separated from God for forever. So look at Romans chapter 10, and we're skipping around and jumping into the middle of thoughts, but this is some powerful stuff. I'm going to begin in verse 9. Romans 10, 9, boy, it's a very, very famous verse. It was one of the first I ever read and then memorized, because I read that and I'm like, wow, that's pretty important. So if you like to write in your Bibles, all of Romans 10 at least, just underline it all. Dog-ear it, fold it over, whatever, it's good stuff. But the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Rome, made up of non-Jewish people, Gentiles all over, and there's so much theology and doctrine contained here. But he says in verse 9, Romans 10, 9, if you can, this is speaking about the whole fact that it's more than simply being nice to people. Verse 9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, everyone who believes on him will not be put to shame, since there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, because the same Lord of all richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without someone speaking to them? And how can they speak about him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. But not all who obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Jesus Christ. There's so much more to being his witnesses, to making disciples of all the nations, than simply being nice to people. We have to actually tell them the good news. And remember, our evangelism strategy is very relational. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. Oh, please care about people first and then tell them what you know and what Jesus has done in your life. It's more than being nice to people. We have to tell them the good news. How can they believe in him they have not heard about? And how can they hear unless we tell them? Satan has convinced us, just smile and be nice. And God's word says we have to tell them. How do we do this? How do we get the opportunity to tell them about Jesus? Build a relationship with lost people. Know lost people. Love on lost people. Be nice to lost people, but don't let it end there. Build that relationship with the purpose in the back of your mind also to get the opportunity to earn the right to share who has saved you, who has made you a brand new creation, and the hope that you have in Jesus. We have a missions team that supports and leads us to support lots of missionaries all over, starting with our denomination, which is Converge International, and going to camps and missionaries all over. You've seen some videos, you've seen some announcements, you've heard us talk a little bit about the missionaries that we support. Right now, our involvement is mainly praying for them and giving them financial contributions. I have a vision for us and our mission department to go so much beyond cutting checks and praying for these, but actually building relationships with our missionaries, knowing them and having them know us and caring for them and working together with them and serving together with them in a relational manner. I know it's a huge undertaking. It's a years and years process of working through very prayerfully, considering who God is building relationships with and maybe who he's not, whatever. But the point is to take our missions far beyond cutting checks and cheering them on from the sidelines, but being involved in our missionaries' lives, taking trips, serving here and in our country, and even internationally, once a year, maybe every other year, taking a team of folks to go love on and serve and support our missionaries, starting here at home and spreading through our country and all around the world, making disciples of all the nations. I have this vision of how that can all happen. But here's the deal. The world that we live in is messed up. And man, is it more messed up now than ever before. I think some of us probably never thought we would see what we're experiencing today. It's chaos and calamity and confusion, and darkness is rising. Wrong has become right, and right has become wrong, and good seems wrong, and wrong seems good, and it's horrible. The world is messed up and people are lost in darkness, separated from God. And let me tell you, I know we're in a political season, but Jesus is the only real answer. Jesus is the only hope that this world has. And so the question that you and I have to ask ourselves is do I go to church or am I the church? We're here for a short time. We're here for such a short time. And then eventually we will stand before the throne of God. And the Ancient of Days, who is seated upon that throne. And when we do, when you and I, when we stand there, we're going to hear one of two things, statements from Him. One is depart from me because I never knew you. Or are we going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? I have a vision for this church, you and I together, born again followers of Jesus, loving Him and loving each other, growing and serving together, no one left behind and no one left alone. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your word, for your vision and your mission for us, your church here in Ely that we call Ledge Rock. And Lord, I pray that as we get ready to sing our final song and leave this place today, that you would speak into each of our hearts how it is that we can serve you as we serve each other, and we can love you as we love each other and be known to our community as people that are full of your love. And so, Father, use us, grow us, mold us, forgive us, and Lord, be glorified through us. Oh, that's what we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.